Welcome to Corner of the Galaxy, the show that talks 100% LA Galaxy soccer. We're glad you could join us. Now it's time to sit back and relax as your hosts navigate through the twisting, turning, but never boring world of the five-time MLS Cup champion, LA Galaxy.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. I'm your host, Josh Guessman. No LA Galaxy games this week. For once, Major League Soccer looks like they're actually going to abide by an international break. LA Galaxy play next on October 15th when they host the Minnesota United on Sunday, October 15th. And then the final game of the season, traveling to FC Dallas on October 22nd. And that's it for your 2017 season. But we still had to have shows. We still have to talk about the LA Galaxy. And so in order to do that, we got a great guest. He's joining us in studio. He's on his third year with the senior team, has made 42 appearances for the Galaxy, with 31 of those being starts. He's got two career goals, two assists, both goals, and one of the assists coming this year. He's a center back. Maybe he's a left back. We're going to find out. Everyone, we're thrilled to welcome to Corner of the Galaxy Studios, LA Galaxy defender, Mr. Dave Romney. Dave, thanks for joining us, buddy. We appreciate
it. How's it going?
Everything's going pretty good. We're busy here, obviously, as you'd expect, but a little break in all the games. I'm sure That's probably a little welcome for you as well.
Yeah, definitely. Those five games in 14 days definitely wears down your body a little bit.
Just out of the gate, starting with that, you know, I get a lot of questions all the time about, hey, these guys are professional athletes. Why can't they play, you know, one game on the weekend, one game during the week, and just continue to go that? But how much of a toll does, one, the travel take, because I know that's certainly a part of it, and two, just the physicality of the games?
It kind of depends on the guy, the age, everything like that, how fast you prepare, how much you take care of your body, how much you use the trainers, treatment, nutrition, hydration, all that stuff. On this past trip, it was kind of tough because we played a couple games in tough conditions. The Atlanta game was down 10 men for over 45 minutes,
right?
Then Kansas City is extremely hot and humid, Houston extremely hot and humid. A lot of travel, not sleeping in your own bed, stuff like that. It's easy to kind of have that wear on you. But, yeah, I cramped in the Kansas City game a couple times,
right,
and the Houston game. But it's something I've played through a lot in college, too, stuff like that. So you kind of just get used to it. And then
That's one of those things, though. Cramping is and being a let's just call me a high school athlete. Well, that's being kind, but we'll say a high school athlete. You know, I get cramps and not be able to walk and not be able to do things. You guys are still out there playing soccer for the most part. I mean, is that a mental thing, or you just get used to it?
I mean, there's obviously a physical aspect to it, but it depends on the cramp. Sometimes a cramp is more fatigue and it's just kind of like pulsing and you can just feel like, oh, this is going to go any second. And then other times you see a guy's leg just completely lock up and there's nothing you can really do.
Like a ticking time bomb. That's always
fun.
Yeah,
I mean, it's never good when you kind of feel yourself cramping and then a ball gets played in over the top and you're like, well, I got to sprint. let's see if my hamstring holds up.
Let's see if it goes. Yeah. Let's start, you know, at the very beginning with you. You took an abnormal route, but it wasn't a normal route to get to one Major League Soccer or even maybe even professional soccer. You went to San Francisco University. How did that even come about? Because you're a local Orange County kid, right? Grew up in Irvine, which is not too far from me. One of the reasons I was able to persuade you to come down to the studio, which is always nice. You get done with school. You head up to San Francisco University. What was your idea going up there?
To be honest, I've never even heard of the University of San Francisco prior to being recruited.
Okay.
I played Irvine Strikers from under-9s to under-19s, and I had a really close group of friends, so there was probably five or six of us who all were playing together for a really long time, and four of them were recruited to UC Berkeley. I wasn't that great. I was kind of the small kid. I hit puberty super late, so I didn't really have any offers, and so I had an offer, my first and only offer, from University of San Francisco. And I was like, oh, that's pretty close to Berkeley. I can just hang out with those guys still. So accepted, took it, and only offer I had, and it ended up working out really well.
That's interesting. I mean, did you think that you were ever going to get, recruited? Was that something that was on your mind the whole time, or was it more of a surprise?
Kind of a surprise. I mean, I was like a bench warmer in club soccer when I was like 13, 14.
Right.
My freshman year of high school, I was 5'4", 120 pounds, super small kid. Me and one of my other best friends were both small kids who hadn't hit puberty yet. Everyone's got a mustache and all this stuff. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise. I was shorter, slower than everyone, so you kind of had to mentally be quicker, kind of think the game ahead. And then once my body kind of caught up with me, then helped out a lot.
And I helped, and then that's when you started getting, you know, a little bit of recognition?
Yeah. And then came in to USF on a 10% scholarship.
Okay.
Which is more than I thought I should get. I don't know. I just was like, dude, I'm a bench warmer. How am I supposed to? I'm not a bench warmer at the time I was recruited, but I just kind of had that mindset still.
Right.
And then started every game my entire career at USF and was on full the next year. And yeah, just kind of took off once I got there.
Okay. So now I think you played every single game your senior season. I mean, 71 games maybe total. I was reading through some stuff. So, I mean, a ton of time in college.
Yeah.
What did you think it was going any further, or did you think it was going to end there?
So, never thought I'd be good enough to be a pro or anything at same age as 14, 15. I just was like, oh my God, it'd be amazing to just make it to college soccer. And then after my freshman year of college soccer is when it kind of took off, and we had like exit meetings from the fall semester, and my head coach was like, I think you should try to graduate early. So, because the MLS draft is in January and I think you have a shot. So just hearing that for the first time, I was like, wow. Never thought this was possible, but kind of got on that track. So graduated in 3.5 years. So I didn't have to really be one of those guys who just left school and then it's like 27-year-old still taking classes or trying to catch up.
Right.
But didn't even get drafted. So
what was that, a surprise? Did you think that there was a possibility of you getting drafted, or what? I mean, you know, where did you go into that draft with your mindset?
So I did not think I was going to get drafted because I wasn't invited to the combine. So I had a really good senior season. I led the team in assists. I played left back in college.
Okay.
But it's kind of hard for a defender at a smaller school to get noticed. So say I'm a forward and I play at a small school. They just see, oh, this kid scored 17 goals. He's a forward. There's got to be something there. We'll invite him to the combine.
Right.
A defender, if you're doing your job, no one really talks about you.
Right. That's a good thing, but yes, you're right.
So coming from a smaller school, usually the kids who get invited to the combine, it's like, oh, let's just take the two UCLA center backs, we'll take these center backs, stuff like that. So didn't get invited to the combine, didn't really get any notice. Was invited to a college combine with the Earthquakes.
Okay.
They took no one from that. It was just, I think, for show, maybe.
I think a lot of listeners would say you dodged a bullet there. So, I mean, that's probably not horrible. But, yeah. So you do that, so nothing happens. So that's sort of, now you're thinking dead end.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm thinking dead end. I move up to, back up to the city for my second semester senior year where I already graduated. I was just going to get an internship, do something in the city, kind of just live out my college kind of career with my other roommates who hadn't graduated yet.
Mm-hmm.
Started interning with a couple firms, and then my college coach knew, he was affiliated with Galaxy because he used to be an academy coach there.
Okay.
Eddie Soto at USF, and he knew Kurt Analfa with the twos. So he's like, hey, I got you a trial with the twos. It starts next week. Have you been running? Have you been training? And I was like,
you're like, I was getting ready for an internship. Yeah. I didn't know there was going to be running involved.
Not really. I said I'd been doing all right. So kind of went in, was a little rusty at first. And then they slowly wind it down to, I think, 2 or 3 of us out of maybe 11 trialists.
Right.
And they're just like, hey, look, we don't have any spot on our roster. You can be a practice player the rest of the year, stuff like that.
Yeah, which by the way, means that technically you don't really even have a contract with the LA Galaxy, and you're probably not getting paid, right?
I mean, no, nothing.
So basically it was like, hey, come be a practice squad guy.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I was like, I'm living at home. This is the club I want to be at. If I could possibly be anywhere, I'd rather. I have no expenses. I'm just living at home. I'm commuting from home. So I'll take this any day. Like, I'll easily take this. I've got my foot in the door at least.
Right.
Talked to a couple guys who'd been in that situation before and talked to Kurt as well. He's like, stuff happens. People get hurt. Anything. Like, it's professional sports. Anything can happen. So Diallo was currently the starting center back on that team. He was hurt from the previous year or something. And then we had another center back. Who was playing next to Stairs, and I think just for some reason I had been playing pretty well, so he signed me to like a emergency. I don't know, but I signed a small contract with them. So I was like, oh my God, this is amazing! I got a contract with the Galaxy, all this stuff. And so then I became the starter 2 games later, and then just never let go of the spot. And then 3-4 months later, was signed to the first team after those Club America and Barca games. So it was kind of crazy 4 months from being told, hey, you're just going to be a practice player the rest of the year, I was signed to the first team.
Which, by the way, the first player to go from LA Galaxy 2 to the senior team in terms of being signed from LA Galaxy 2. So, I mean, you were the first of now many that have come before you. But, I mean, you know, I've talked to people, you know, about you, and everybody says you have to understand, you know, this guy didn't have a contract when he joins the team. And then, like you said, you know, very short time later, you're playing for the senior team. You know, like, what goes through your head just knowing that you get signed to the senior team when that happens?
I mean, a lot of that, too, was me coming in out of shape and not having touches from a while.
Right.
So I wasn't myself, you know. I was trying to, it was like a little preseason when all these guys already had their preseason. And then, I don't, mentally, I didn't think too much of it. I'm pretty level-headed, pretty even-keeled. I've got good support staff from my mom and dad, everything. My friends around me are all solid. So they would try to kind of hype it up a little. And I'm like, it's fine. Like, just want to train every day and just kind of get as good as I can. But I remember I had a bet with my dad.
Right.
I think we bet $200 that whoever would shoot even par on the golf course.
Right.
Owed the other one $200.
Right.
So I beat him to that. So he owed me $200. And then we made another bet after I was loaned up for the Houston game.
Right.
So I was a Los Dos player loaned up for an MLS game. And Bruce said good things about me after the game. And my dad's like, oh my, he's going to sign you. I was like, no, I just hope I get invited to preseason next year
right.
And I can hopefully earn a contract for the first team. I was like, that's best case scenario.
Right.
I hope that happens. So we made a bet. All right, he's like, I think you're going to get signed. And literally the next morning after that bet, they tell me I'm getting signed to the first team. I was like,
I don't know. I think he had some inside information. I go, that's.
I was like, I lost the bet, but I got signed to the first team. It's a win-win.
You'll take that.
Yeah.
I can understand that. No, I mean, it seems, and again, it seems like in a bunch of these steps that you didn't even think that, you know, a lot of ways that your career was progressing as fast as it did. Do you think you just got lucky, or do you think it was about the mentality of staying grounded and sort of, you know, just plugging away day by day? I mean, it's a cliche, we all hear it, and you know, as a reporter, I hope that I never hear you say we're just going to take it one game at a time, which everybody does, and that's fine. You know, that type of thing. But I mean, but was that, do you think that was part of the success?
I mean, the only luck that was involved was, I don't know, even saying that was lucky, but like, it's crazy how every opportunity I got was due to injuries.
Right.
Which is unfortunate, but it's I don't know.
It's part of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, and Bruce, when Bruce was here, and, you know, anybody else who's coach, Kurt or Siggy, has always said, you know, whenever somebody goes down, it's an opportunity for somebody to step up.
Exactly.
You're not, I don't think you're being, you know, mean-spirited
if you say that I took
advantage of the situation.
No.
That's what sports is. So
yeah.
I can see that. Well, okay, so now you're on the senior team. This is, you know, you're what, 2015, 2016, going into 2016 season, right? You're on the senior team. What goes through your mind knowing that you're going to be at least in position to compete for a senior spot in 2016?
What do you
mean? Like in terms of on the team, are you going to get a starting spot? You know,
I mean, I thought I'd be heavily involved in the team more so than I was. Cause initially once Omar was, traded or whatever, released, or I don't know what.
bought by
Pachuca.
Yes, there you go.
Once he was bought, we weren't really talking about anyone else. I thought I would maybe be able to step up into the role. And then we signed Yella, and I didn't know what position I'd be playing, if I would be playing on the right, but we still had AJ, Leo, Daniel. So it was just like, all right, just compete. And then Daniel played really well all year. He deserved the spot.
Right.
Right-footed obviously helps being up that right side.
Mm-hmm.
And then Yella was a breakout. I mean, he had turned in a really good season. So it was kind of just train as hard as I can, be ready when my number's called. Ashley went down in like midsummer, got a good stretch of games there.
Right.
But I probably only played like 10 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you're just getting antsy. I want to play. I want to start. Like, you're just getting super antsy on the bench.
Did you get time down at LA Galaxy 2 as well to sort of feed some of that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I know it's important for players, and, you know, this is one of the things. It's important to get minutes. So even
definitely.
If it's down with USL, it's minutes, and I think you're probably pretty happy to be getting minutes.
Yeah, definitely. I think I played 7 or so games with them. So and then I played 10 MLS games and then 4 US Open Cup. So still 20-ish games in the season. It's not bad. It's not great, but it's better than some guys mainly only get 5 or 10 games a year.
Well, and now you get into 2017 season.
Yeah.
Again, maybe a guy who didn't figure into being a starter at the beginning of the season, but injury plague season that 2017 has been. You talked about injuries and spots.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's probably a great way to explain the LA Galaxy this year is just constant opportunities for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of guys have stepped up. I mean, it's tough to replace that many guys. It was kind of frustrating because we hit a good stride in the after that away trip. I think, were we positive? 5-5-2, 6-5-2, something around there?
I have a chart somewhere that I could look up. But okay. But yeah, I mean, after the away trip, you guys were, I think, 5-5-2?
Something
it was
there.
Really close to that. Yeah.
And then just absolutely decimated by injuries. We were fielding a Los Dos team.
Yeah.
Which, that kind of energy, that like you can get by a couple games, but it's tough.
Eventually. I mean, you know, there is a difference between the two leagues for a reason up to a certain point. And so, no, you can understand that. But, yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you, though, is there has been a revolving door of defenders, of players in general.
Yeah.
How much, you know, as a defender, as yourself here, how much does that play into the consistency that you're either able to get or not able to get whenever just pieces are moving all the time?
It's pretty big, to be honest. I mean, it's not like in football where we have certain plays and it's like, I know this guy's going to run a post or he's going to run this exact route. It's
right.
All organic. It's all communication. It's, I need to guess how he's going to make his move. I need to get used to playing with certain guys. If he likes to step a lot, if he likes to play a deeper line, different things like that. So playing next to different people every game is definitely hard. But at the end of the day, we are pros and we should be able to do better. I mean,
it seems like just the amount of people. And whenever you look, I mean, goalkeepers, you start with goalkeepers. You've played with 3 different goalkeepers this year, right? You had Yella in there as a center back. You have Siani in there as center back. You've played with Dan Steris as center back.
Yeah.
The right back position has just sort of been the world's most unlikeliest position. I mean, it's my suggestion, don't play right back, all right? If they say, hey, Dave, we need your right back, just
played one game there?
Yeah. Just be like, hey, you know, I think maybe I want to stay away from that position. It's never one game. It seems to be 2 or 3 games is what gets you. So, but you don't have a right back. I mean, you know, the probably the most consistent spot when you look at it is between you and Ashley Cole through this whole year. And Dan was in there for a long period of time until he got injured as well.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of chemistry was sort of brought about with you and Dan being back there? Because I certainly see a partnership develop. It's something I see long term for the LA
definitely.
Galaxy. But I mean, how do you feel next to Dan?
I love playing next to Tan. I mean, we played together on Los Dos. I think I might have told you previously, I think we were maybe 1st or 2nd in the league in goals against when we were with Los Dos, maybe 2-3 years ago when we were playing together. We have similar play styles. We both talk to each other a lot. We're really good friends off the field, stuff like that. So it just makes it really easy to just constantly be in each other's ear, talking to each other. And then been building a connection with Ashley, which is pretty absurd to say. Like, if I was a 10-year-old kid saying that, I'd call you a liar. Like, no, I'm not going to play next to Ashley Cole.
Right.
But extremely down to earth, like one of the best guys you'll ever meet. So,
and he likes to golf too, right?
Likes to golf. So yeah, me, Stairs, Ashley and Yella used to play a lot. B-Row plays with us a good amount. I wonder how many other golfers.
Dave Sarakin was a big golfer beforehand. I know that.
Yeah, I've never played with any of the coaching staff.
You've never played with any of the coach? Good, because I heard Dave was good, but I think you could take his money. You're a good golfer, too. I mean, let's see. How can I say this? You're much, much better than the average golfer, and I think most people would say you're the best golfer on the team. Do you think so?
Yes. B-Row just beat me yesterday, 2 days ago.
Brian
he played
Rowe.
Really well. Yeah, he's sneaky, pretty good.
Right.
Like, yeah. He shot 78. I think we played 2 days ago.
Right.
And
Dave and I were talking before we started recording, and I worked at a golf course, which I think some of you have heard before, you know, in college. And so I was almost good at one point and could throw up, you know, scores like 78 pretty easily at times. And then now if I went out there, if I got under 120, the golf is really exhausting whenever you shoot like 110, 120.
Once I'm over +3, +4, then your mind just turns off. You're like, I'm not going to.
They're just not coming back from this. No, I understand that. But no, I mean, golf sounds like it's a fun thing. But talk about a little bit more about Ashley Cole, because this, like you said, if I was to tell 10-year-old you that you're going to be playing next to Ashley Cole, who, in my opinion, has been one of the guys in the locker room who I have enjoyed the most, and I was originally totally, and I'll be honest with this, totally against him coming to the LA Galaxy.
Yeah.
But he comes in, he does his job, at least from, you know, my point of view. He's just the ultimate professional. What do you get from working next to Ashley
Cole? I mean,
Cole?
He's the perfect combination of a kid and the ultimate professional. And I mean that as in, he'll be one of the last guys in training, just kicking the balls around, hitting free kicks, playing around with the ball, crossing, doing all this stuff. And it's such a pure joy of like playing still,
right?
Which is awesome at that age. And for playing for so many years, he's still just a kid in that regards. And then the way he treats other players, the advice he gives to certain guys, stuff like that, the way he calms certain guys down on the field, and just kind of his leadership in the locker room is the ultimate professional.
I would say that, you know, going through this year, and obviously it's been a tumultuous year, maybe off the field, on the field as well, just lots of things going on, that Ashley Cole has been a steadying influence throughout this entire year. And he seems like a guy who, in my opinion, I'd love to give him the captain's armband, Dave. I'd be like, yeah, Ashley, you deserve this. But he's also a guy who's like, hey, I don't need that in order to do what I do. Do you think that's fair? Because he seems to shy away from the spotlight a little bit.
No, I wouldn't say he shies away from the spotlight. I'm more similar to him as in regard where I'm not the hoorah guy. I'm not going to amp everybody up say in the locker room or pregame speech, stuff like that. But it's kind of like a lead by example while also being a leader on the field, stuff like that.
Right. And he's got the skills to back it up. He played
definitely midfield.
I mean, you know, people like to make fun of the fact that he played midfield at one point, but he also played midfield and played it really well.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Ashley Cole. It's one of those things.
Yeah. It's frustrating too, because he'll show us articles, because he gets absolutely destroyed by the British media.
Right. Right.
Which is the strangest thing. Yeah. So I think in New York last year, New York City, there was a pigeon on the field in warmups, and him and Yella were passing, and it like hit a pigeon, or Yella kicks the ball and it hits a pigeon.
I remember.
And
this.
Then there's an article from like Daily Mail UK or something, one of those random ones, that says Ashley Cole and teammates kill pigeon on soccer field, and it just shows like a ruthless title, and they're just trying to kill him.
I'm laughing because I find that just so like ridiculously humorous in terms of like, that's so far out of you know. And I remember reading that and everything else and stuff like. But that is the case. I mean, ultimately, it becomes, for somebody like him, you could understand why maybe MLS is a better place for him to be right now than if he was in England anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I could see maybe from a media standpoint, but there's no way he would walk into any locker room in England and he would have any problems.
Right.
You know, everyone who would be around him every day would know exactly who Ashley is. It's just kind of that outside perspective, maybe from the media, or he's kind of been pinned as, hey, this is Cashley Cole or whatever they call it. I don't know.
Yep. No. And he got a bad rap. And again, I remember I literally have a sound drop on my soundboard that says like something like that the Corner of the Galaxy is listed 371st on the things I want more than Ashley Cole. I mean, it was and that's horrible. And going back and looking, he's been one of the most dependable players that the Galaxy have had in a long time.
Yeah.
He comes in, he does his job and he does his work. And from everybody I talk to, you and anybody else I talk to, just think he's the best teammate ever.
Yeah.
And there's never, like you said, there's never in a locker room that he could have a problem with. Let's transition a little bit and talk a little bit about Giassi Zardes, because he comes in and plays right back in the last couple games. Got injured in the last game, unfortunately, missed his U.S. men's national team call up.
Yeah.
All sorts of crazy things. But I mean, how would you assess how he jumped into that role at right back?
I mean, the first game he played was against Kansas City.
Right.
And that's a tough game to come into. I mean, one with the heat and all those factors. But the way Kansas City plays is they play their wingers tuck in a lot and their outside backs come up really high. So there has to be constant communication between our right back and right mid.
Right.
Because are we going to switch? Are you going to stay with the runner? Are you going to stay with the outside back? So there literally has to be a constant line of communication. If you're going to switch, all that stuff. So it's kind of tough for your first game to be in a team that literally sends their guys forwards nonstop, rather than a team where their right back or left back just sits at home. You don't really have to worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And whenever you're looking at that combination in that game, particularly it was Roman Alessandrini and Jossie Zardes,
yeah.
Just by them attacking Zardes at that side really pins Roman Alessandrini back. So Roman can't go forward probably as much as he'd like to do. And then so you get a sort of limited offensive attack as well. Would you agree with that? That's always been my thing a little bit there with if you can attack that right-hand side, that you can limit Roman a little bit.
To an extent, yeah. I mean, if we caught Sinovic getting forward and then Roman was just free, then...
Off to the races.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so they have to be careful as well, yeah. the flip side of that. But no, I mean, Jossie comes in. I mean, do you think, just from you being a defender and looking at what... Do you think that that he could figure that role out and that he could be a guy who could play right back? Not saying that he would want to, but do you think he has the sort of that skills as that right back?
I think over time, yeah, he would have the skill set, but... I don't think it's where he wants to play.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would think that he would either want to be in the midfield.
It's like you could play him there, but I think he is more valuable higher up the field.
It's like the Ashley Cole argument. You could play him in midfield and he could play there. You know what? You could probably play Ashley Cole at striker. You could do a lot of things. I always remember Kurt saying something and I think he got panned more for it than people, you know, gave him credit for it. But he was talking about Ashley Cole playing in the midfield and he goes, you know, he's a talented player. Talented players can play anywhere. And you look at that and you understand that some guys are gifted enough. And if you're at this level, even you, Dave Romney, I think you could handle being a striker for a little while too, right? I mean, every defender wants to play striker.
Exactly. Anyway. I could be like a Will Bruin, someone like that.
See, it's already starting to put the seeds in your mind.
I've thought about this.
Every defender.
There's
two things. And again, my brief high school athleticism comes into play. I played right back. So I was a right back or a center back. So that type of thing. But if you gave me a chance to go forward, you can bet I was going forward. Yeah. Right. And you get those chances as well. Scoring goals. At one point, one of the upper echelons of goal scorers for the LA Galaxy this year. What's with all the defenders scoring goals?
I don't know. I mean, it does help having Roman and Gio or whoever serving it. Having them consistently hit a ball right on top of the six,
right,
more opportunities is always going to help. That's all I can really say.
I understand.
If you're getting good service every single corner kick, then sheer volume, you're probably going to score a couple of those.
Let's talk just a little bit about this season as a whole. It hasn't been a good season, and nobody pretended to be good. And we've talked about this season being, I'm sure, a disappointment to everybody who's in the locker room. Is it a shock to your system to sort of have this sort of fall in terms of, the team and what happened? You went from being last year competing in the Western Conference semifinals, in penalty kicks to go to the Western Conference finals to missing out on the playoffs. And right now the Galaxy are the worst team in Major League Soccer. Does it feel like it was that big of a drop are you not able to process it while you're really in this season still trying to fight for games?
I mean, we're still trying to fight for games. It just makes the day-to-day tougher, I guess.
Things are easier when you're winning.
Yeah. Oh, it changes everything.
It does change.
You almost feel bad, like, laughing sometimes. You're like, are we supposed to, or are we allowed to? We're not doing good.
We get that a lot with reporters. Obviously, we go into the locker rooms after games, and I think for the most part, reporters try to match the mood of the locker room. We don't want to be in there laughing and joking because we know it ticks you guys off, and you want to be respectful of what you just saw out there. I get that feeling too. Are we allowed to be happy? Are you allowed to ask questions like that? What does it do to the locker room, though? I mean, does it make it more difficult to be in a locker room that's not winning? Just if you have the best locker room in the world, and all of a sudden you're not winning and you're not winning any games, and you're going to be you're down near the bottom of the table. Does that on its own just change things?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
What do you think is different with that? I mean, is it just the everyday sort of conversations? Is it feeling good?
No.
Is winning just a drug that it's a high and it feels so good? No. Like
maybe to some guys, I don't know. I just had it.
Well, I can ask you,
Yeah, you just, circle back.
Yeah, if you remember it, it'll bug you for a while, and then you're going to sit here and go, wait a minute, I remembered it. Did preseason of 2017 feel any different? Obviously, a whole bunch of people take off. They're no longer with the team. The locker room felt different to me when I walked into it for the first time. Did it feel different for you just in preseason?
Definitely. I remember when I first joined the first team in 2015, I was used to all the Los Dos guys, kind of just being around more so peers in a sense, guys more my age. And then just kind of thinking to myself, because I mean, I was only close with a couple of the guys on the first team at that time.
Right.
And then over the years or throughout a couple of away trips, stuff like that, I was kind of getting used to some of the older guys. Because I mean, at that point, we had maybe 10 guys over 30, and I'm a 21-year-old. But I remember thinking to myself a couple times, like, I wonder what this team is going to be like, or I wonder how it's going to be different when all the Los Dos guys are with me, or when we're all kind of together again.
Right.
And then the 2017 preseason, I was like, geez, this team is young.
Right.
This is the team that I was playing on in 2015, basically.
Yeah, you guys make me feel old now. Thank you. At least I could still almost play for you guys.
Yeah.
This is in my head, my delusions that I have. But now I look at everybody and I'm like, yeah, I'm one of the oldest guys in this room. That's really great. What was your relationship like with Kurt? I know he brought you into Los Dos and you got to hang out with him and then you do that. And then now he goes up to the senior team. You're thrown into, you know, the starting role in 2017 of a lot of games and stuff like that. What did you think of Kurt Anolfo?
I had a really good relationship with Kurt. I mean, he told me a couple of times, he's like, I see a lot of myself in you. So, I mean, anytime a coach hears that, you're like, that's got to be a good thing unless he hates himself. So anytime you hear a coach say that, you obviously think, all right, he has his trust in me. He likes me as a player. He likes me as a person. So hopefully I get minutes under him and I can learn a lot under him. He was good for my confidence, talked to me a lot about future stuff, different things like that.
Let's just transition straight to it. So then he leaves, he's fired by the Galaxy. Siggy comes in that very same day. I know it's abrupt and you show up to training one day and basically Siggy's there. So now, How was that taken by the team? Just first of all, just the transition. I mean, is it one of those things where you're like, hey, this is real? I mean, you know, hey, we really are all replaceable. We better pick it up.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, there's probably a lot of guys who were upset about it, or because a lot of the team had been signed through Kurt. He developed a lot of those guys. So I'm sure he had a good relationship with a lot of the players. So I say a lot of the players were upset. I'm sure some players are happy. I don't know. I couldn't tell you how many. I'm just guessing.
Right.
Mostly players who don't get a lot of time maybe don't like the coach, or players who are starting like the coach.
Yeah.
Every team's going to have players who like and don't like the coach.
Right.
And then Ziggy came in really professional. We knew he'd come from winning pedigree, all this stuff. First week of training, you could tell, all right, he's been here before, obviously. He's going to be a good coach. And then anytime you get a new coach, everyone's ears kind of perk up. Everyone comes to training that much harder because no one's safe. Everything you've been working on the whole season
is gone.
He hasn't seen anything in the training room, everything, all that stuff. So the level of competitiveness picks up really quick.
Right.
And then,
I mean. Yeah. So now you're transitioned into, okay, now he's changed.
Yeah.
Now he's seen some stuff. And what do you think of Siggy Schmidt now that you've had some time to deal with him? I mean, all the original thoughts, hey, this guy is, you know, is professional. I think that carries through kind of no matter what. But
Definitely.
I mean, do you feel like he has what it takes to sort of move this team in the right direction now?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And then he adds Dominic Kinnear as well, who now I've been told this by other people, players seem to really like.
Definitely.
What is it about Dominic Kinnear that you like?
He is, so during, if he's running a drill or he's talking, or not just talking, but if he's running a drill and you're doing something, you're playing possession, stuff like that, he is always in your ear, but in a positive, in an encouraging way. And that kind of keeps you involved and it keeps you kind of amped up.
Right.
So then it just kind of raises the level of training.
And
just really, really nice guy off the field too. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
The only downside is that he seems to like Scott French. So we'll deal with that, Scott. Don't worry about it. But anyway, no, I mean, you go with that now. So you have Dominic Kinnear. Was there any sort of, hey, this guy was a head coach? I mean, he was a very successful head coach.
Yeah.
What is he doing here as an assistant coach? Was there any of that?
I don't know. I mean, he runs a lot of stuff.
Right.
It's a good pairing between the two. I mean, they've both been head coaches in this league forever, so like we're in good hands, obviously.
Right.
And Ziggy's not afraid to cede anything to Dom, and that like he's not worried about anything. So I think they have a good relationship together. I forgot where we're at. I'm just kind of off track. Okay.
No worries. We're rolling right through here. We got about 10 minutes left, and if that's cool with you, we'll keep going there. But yeah. Let's go off the field. What's the one thing that you love to do off the field? Is it golf or is it something else? Is there something that sort of takes your mind away from soccer for a little bit and lets you decompress?
When I was living down in Orange County, when I was living at my dad's house,
right.
Lived 2 minutes away from our country club, so would definitely be there a lot.
Yep.
And then something I've kind of always played and off and on throughout my childhood and now is video games.
Yeah. You, are you a big FIFA guy?
Not really.
See, that I think there's something to it. There certainly is the cliche that all soccer players love to play FIFA.
I mean, I played FIFA. I went through a big stretch of playing FIFA and Madden and all those in like 2007 or around that area. And then once Call of Duty came out, was 100% first person shooters.
So now it's all about that. All right, I can see that. That makes some sense.
It got bad for a while.
It got bad.
Yeah. My kill death ratio in Call of Duty was higher than my GPA in high school. So that didn't.
So you had to put it down a little bit. You had to step away.
Not even close.
No. There was an intervention performed by your parents, perhaps. Type of music you like to listen to? What's good before a game? What's good after a game?
To be honest, I don't really listen to music that much.
Really?
Yeah. When I'm in the car driving to and from training, I have SiriusXM and I just have CNBC on.
CNBC? So you're not even listening to SiriusXM, the FC side of things?
Nope.
That's a good point.
Getting my investing knowledge, trying to manage my money.
Manage money? It makes some sense. I understand that.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else here that we have to. Oh, I got one thing because this happened today. So I have to ask this question. I've always wanted to ask this question. It's kind of cool that you're here. The MLS player salaries came out today from the union, all right?
Yeah.
Now I've been told they're fairly accurate. Let's just call them close or whatever. Do the guys talk about it? Is that something that ever gets discussed in the locker room? Or is it something that's just sort of off limits? Because as soon as it comes out, all the fans, of course, go crazy and talk about all these things. And, you know, I'm sure I'll have to write an article on it later. But what do you guys, is there any sort of acknowledgement that it comes out?
Oh, we never like, oh, did you guys see the salaries come out? Or it's never like that.
Right.
But once you kind of take your look at it, you obviously think stuff to yourself and
you'll
say stuff to your two closest friends on the team, but no, it's not really widely talked about.
Okay. Cause I remember there was, I think he was, I don't want to use the person's name cause they may not have said it, but they're all like, hey, if you think it's interesting, you know, on Twitter and in sort of the soccer fandom world there is it, just imagine how it is in the locker room. Me working here, I can't imagine that, you know, everybody all of a sudden knows your salary and what you make. I mean, do you think it puts some pressure on guys that are making more, or do you not? Do you think that doesn't faze people?
I don't think so. But like, I'm never in the locker room, and I can't cuss, right?
No cussing.
Yeah, and we're just talking. We're like shooting the.
Uh huh. Yes.
I'm never like, you make this much, you suck. Like we're never really doing that.
No.
Never exact numbers. Maybe in the ballpark, but.
Yeah, I can understand. I think I would kind of use it just because me and I have a very, you know, infantile sense of humor. I'd be like, you make this much and you can't even get that pass. Like, you know, just giving people, is there any of that? Maybe one. Okay, that was close enough. Close enough to an answer that I need. That was all it is. Okay, let's get to some fan questions here before we wrap it up. Let's see. Here is somebody at Jim Morav on Twitter. He says, well, what should the fans expect for 2018, and should we renew our season passes or season tickets?
Definitely.
Definitely renew. Why? What's coming up in 2018? What do you feel like this team is doing?
I mean, there's going to be a lot of changes. It's you can't question that. Even successful seasons. I've been here for 3 years, and we've gotten rid of maybe 9 guys each season. So I'm guessing this season will be similar, if not more. So there's going to be a lot of changes. And every new season, it's different from every other soccer league. It's everyone literally can win a championship.
Look at Chicago last year,
exactly.
Right? And Chicago this year. So there's a difference. Look at
Colorado 2015, Colorado 2016.
Exactly. So you can certainly see that. So I understand that. Let's get to another one from Scott at SJ Koppel. And he says, which team has put the most pressure on the back line, and what do you think was so difficult about facing them? Maybe Toronto. Maybe it was at the Atlanta game, although the Atlanta game going to be going down a man.
Yeah. I think they did most of their damage when we had 11, though. unfortunately.
It was 3-0 whenever Jermaine got bounced from the game. So
I think the first time we played Kansas City, the first 25 minutes, we were a little rattled. And because they just played such a different style. They're such a possession-oriented team, and they have their outside backs literally as wingers. And right. So they literally force you into having six guys in a straight line on your back line because you have your back four, and then your wingers are literally tracking the outside backs that high. So they're just a different matchup.
Right.
So it takes a couple, like 20 minutes to get used to. And then Atlanta has a lot of pace.
Right.
Josef Martinez stands offsides for maybe 80% of the game. And he's kind of one of those forwards. So you're always looking over your shoulder, where is he, where is he, where is he? And then once you see any of their wingers with the ball or an outside back, you're like, all right, they're going to try to cross this. Where's this dude running?
Right, right. That's one of the things that I think people don't understand is so difficult. It's those types of forwards who sort of hang out behind you the whole game, and you know, having to be you're playing the game in front of you, but you have to play the guy behind you as well. So yeah, I mean, you could certainly understand that. Let's see. Let's go to Liliana. She asks, one of your biggest fans, by the way. She says, what have you learned from the season and the obstacles faced so far, and how do you think this will help you improve next season?
There's a lot of things to learn from this season, probably more so than every other season I'll have in my future, just unless I get seriously injured one season. There's a lot of self-reflection in one of those injuries. Yeah.
Knock on wood. I don't know where you're going to find it. Yeah, there you go. Okay, good. You do that. I don't want the corner of the galaxy curse.
I mean,
right? I don't need that.
You said you didn't want to be super cheesy with the take it one game at a time, but the John Wooden, I think, quoted is that sports don't, something about sports, don't build character, they reveal it.
Right.
And those words ring incredibly true at a time like this.
It really is, and even though I am against the cliche, it really, you have to take it one game at a time. Your full focus is going to be on Minnesota United. Here, I'll even do it for you. Your full focus, you're like, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you're focused on Minnesota United. They're coming in. They just had a big win. I mean, they're going to be dangerous.
It was a weird game,
It was a really weird game. But that's Major League Soccer as well. They're weird games. Weird things happen in Texas. I've expanded that after the Houston game and how weird that one was. And we talked after that one.
Yeah.
And that was a tough game for you.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, there were some mistakes made in the last side. I think both Giassi and you had some mistakes there at the end.
Yeah, reached out for the ball, kind of got trapped in my foot, and then led to the PK, which kind of got their momentum going. So yeah, after in the locker room, I said, that one's on me. That first goal, I'm sorry, guys, all this stuff. You kind of have to own up to it. I mean, I can't really not own up to that. Like, it's right there in front of everyone.
Yeah, and everybody sees that. So it's just a matter. But I mean, what does that do? I mean, do you need more guys to own up to things? Is that an important part of the locker room, or does everybody already know it?
You can say everyone already knows it, but it is nice when they acknowledge it or it gets brought up. So like in say that play, everyone knew I screwed up. You can't avoid that.
Right.
But it's nice to just bring it up again, like say, all right, I messed up. It's all right. Like, well, it's not all right, 'cause we didn't get the win, but
right.
People make mistakes and I'm admitting I'm not perfect, stuff like that. So it is nice to kind of hear someone step up and say, hey, I screwed up.
Right, right. Which
kinda
is
not just, hey, I had nothing to do with this. You guys all suck.
Which is me on my over 35 team. Like, you guys all suck, and I haven't played for a while. No, let's not go there. Let's see. I'm trying to see. Scott has one more question for you. He says, what is your to-do list for the offseason? I'll say he asked to improve your game.
Yeah.
But I want, one, to improve your game, and two, just an offseason thing that you need to do. It doesn't have to be soccer-related.
Definitely travel.
Yeah. Anywhere in particular? Are you overseas or are you more domestically based here? Is there somewhere within the United States that you have to go?
Probably more domestic based. The guys did an Herbalife trip last year that I missed the cut on barely. I wasn't good enough to make the trip. I texted someone high up and I was like, hey, can I go on this trip too? They're like, no, we don't have enough spots for you. I was like, all right, maybe next year.
Cut. Didn't even get a chance for that. Yeah. So you already put your hat in the ring for if there's a trip this year,
definitely.
You're like, I'm going.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that. So what's the one thing that you have to do to improve your game in the off season?
Oh, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things I want to get better on. It's kind of weird, but it's something I was so good at growing up and have kind of been really good at in college, but I've kind of lost some confidence on it being in the pros, is just hitting a really good long ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I definitely want to work on.
There you go.
Just
I like that.
Kind of being afraid to turn it over sometimes and just kind of playing safe.
Right.
But it definitely helps our team out if you can stretch the defense accurately.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And Yella Van Dom had a bunch of success doing that. Yella had that. Jermaine can sort of hit some long balls as well.
Yeah.
On occasion. So yeah, I mean it's a good arsenal. Okay, last question. This is the one I got asked the most of, and this is one you and I have had a discussion on.
Uh-oh.
Previous. No, it's an easy one. Center back or left back?
Definitely a center back.
Why definitely a center back?
Well. Which one's more fun, or which one am I better suited for?
Which one are you better suited for?
Definitely
you
can, center back.
Okay, and why is that?
I mean, my physical tools definitely suit me towards a center back. I mean, I can easily play outside back. I'm a lot athletic enough to play outside back, but
right.
I'm not as technically gifted as, say, other wing backs who are really good at going forward, can dribble a little bit, stuff like that. My usage of going forward at this point in my career is touch and serve. So if I'm getting forward or overlapping, I can serve in a good cross, but I'm not going to dribble anybody. I'm not going to do stuff like that. Whereas Ashley can get forward more, dribble more, create different things. So my skill set at this point is definitely tailored more towards the center back.
So am I guessing that the left back is more fun to play, though, because you get to get forward?
It does not suck. It's kind of like I always see this meme where it's Bilbo Baggins leaving the Shire, and right. It's like anytime a fullback goes forward, it's I'm going on an adventure, that thing. He's just running forward.
That is great. I always said my rule on any of the soccer teams I ever played for is that if a defender makes a run, you better hit them on that run.
Yeah.
Because they had to come from a long way to Definitely. Find it. So that was the thing.
And they got
to
run all the way back.
That's a long ways to go a lot of times. All right. Well, Dave, before we finish, I wanted to give everybody a heads up. The LA Galaxy Foundation players and supporters groups are hosting a LA Galaxy Shared Plate Celebration benefiting LA Kitchen. This is before the LA Galaxy 2 game coming up this Saturday, I believe, if I'm reading correctly. And so the supporters groups, including the Angel City Brigade and the LA Riot Squad and the Galaxians, are hosting this shared plate celebration on October 7th ahead of Fan Appreciation Night at LA Galaxy's 2 match against the Portland Timbers 2 at StubHub Center, Track and Field Stadium, Fight Against Hunger, Food Waste, and Unemployment. Meal tickets to the LA Galaxy shared celebration benefiting LA Kitchen are available for purchase. Go to lagalaxy.com/LA Kitchen. Sort of a really fun night. And, you know, I think that in this particular LA Galaxy 2 game, if I'm a guessing man, you're going to see some of the guys who didn't get a ton of minutes up recently with the senior team. And so if you wanted to go to this particular game, it might be a good one for everybody to go to. So, Dave, is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you want to tell people? I mean, you know, 2018, I mean, 2017 still has two games. You got two, Minnesota, you got FC Dallas, so those are the last two. It's going to be a long off season for you guys, probably longer than I think maybe you've ever had with the LA Galaxy, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah,
I mean, we train for a little bit after. If you're not in playoffs, you kind of stick around and train a little bit. It's tough to take 2.5 months off.
Yeah, it's going to be.
I get antsy after a couple weeks, just, all right, I'm doing nothing.
Right.
I want to do something.
Yeah, let me play soccer. Let me do something. So that's how it is. But, you know, you're focused on that. But 2018, I mean, do you feel like this team is in the right direction, that they're going to get some stuff together in the offseason? Do you feel confident in that?
Yeah, I think so. I think, I mean, we have to make a lot of signings in certain areas. I mean, I just want the season to start already.
Yeah, you're
already getting, yeah.
I get it. You want to wipe this bad taste out of your mouth. It makes some sense. Do you feel like you're in a good spot with the LA Galaxy? You feel like you'll be back in 2018 as well?
As of right now, I think so.
Good.
Hopefully.
Good. All right. Good. That's what we wanted to see. All right. Well, we certainly wanted to, I have this one guy in here who says, who loves this scarf I have over here. All right. It's my LA Till I Die scarf. And so he's been wanting to buy it off of me. So he said, Josh, ask Dave if you should sell me the scarf for $150 to charity. So if I get that scarf to that guy, do you think I should do it for $150 and I'll give it to the LA Galaxy Foundation? You think that's a good deal?
Of course it's a good deal.
Okay, that's a good deal. All right, you got your deal. I will sell the scarf for $150. It goes to the LA Galaxy Foundation. Let me know when you made your thing and I'll ship off the scarf. See, that's fun. I told him to wait till after the season, but let's do it now. This is way more fun. All right, Dave. Well, we certainly appreciate you stopping by. Listen, I know it was not an easy trek, so it's great that you could come down here and talk with us a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, for everybody, if you ever get a chance to go out to training, stop by, see Dave. You know, he's usually a good guy, and he'll sign stuff for you and be a nice guy. He's one of the good ones, so make sure you do it. So, Dave, thanks for stopping by. Good luck on the last two games,
and thank you.
I'm sure we'll stay in touch, all right?
Definitely.
All right, so that about does it for our show. The LA Galaxy play again on October 15th. It is Sunday, October 15th against Minnesota United. This will be your last home game for the LA Galaxy, so make sure that you're there. Make sure that you are you can see the Galaxy, because as Dave and I just said, it's a long offseason, so you're going to want to get as much soccer as you possibly can in person. So hopefully we'll see everybody out there. I will have some stickers with me at the next game. I will also have, and Dave has agreed to sign some stickers for me, so we will be able to give those away on the podcast, and maybe I'll give one out at the game as well. So that's what we're going to do, so pay attention to our Corner of the Galaxy webpage, where we're going to be giving some of those away, or on Twitter or on Facebook, any of those places. I'm going to be giving away some of the Corner of the Galaxy signed stickers from Dave Romney. All right, I think that about does it. If you're looking for me on Twitter, it's at Jay Guessman, JGUESMAN, and at Galaxy Podcast. Wait, hold on, Dave. Dave, give your Twitter account, so that way we could, everybody has that. Do you know your Twitter handle?
Dave Romney?
Yeah, Dave _ Romney something.
Number 12.
Yeah, Dave _ Romney 12. Okay, yeah. Good. Glad we got that in there. So do that. Follow Dave at Galaxy Podcast, cornerthegalaxy.com for all of our podcast stuff and everything else that we have is right there. It's iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, blah, 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 all those other things. And for people who ordered Corner of the Galaxy logo shirts, you're my favorite people. Those should be shipping out in approximately 5 days on October 10th. All right. For Mr. Dave Romney, coming all the way in here, Corner of the Galaxy Studios, I'm Josh Guessman, and you've been listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Everyone, have a great day.
You've been listening to the Corner of the Galaxy podcast on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Galaxy Podcast, and be sure to check out and subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, and Facebook by searching for Corner of the Galaxy. And for all of your independent LA Galaxy news, discussion, and entertainment, including this podcast, head on over to cornerofthegalaxy.com. Fans, thanks for listening. We ask that you be kind and courteous to your neighbors as you leave the podcast. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you again. Until then, I'm Michael Araujo, and on behalf of the entire Corner of the Galaxy crew, goodbye, everybody.